Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Nastor.
Hey, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is John Nastor, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is an entrepreneur, a weightlifter, and travel photographer. He has started four businesses over the course of his entrepreneurial career, and two of them have succeeded. His real success, though, has come from his personal blog. He started consistently posting twice per week in very late 2012 and has not missed a post since. Not only that, but he has an email list now of over 100,000 people, is regularly published by Business Insider, Entrepreneur Magazine, and the Huffington Post, and he makes a great living off his personal brand. His work covers a variety of topics, but the central idea that ties it all together is simple. If you can master your habits, you can master your life. Now, let's hack James Clear. When you make a wrong hire, you feel it immediately. Your team's performance, morale, and the bottom line all suffer. And whether you're screening candidates for an important position or looking for ways to improve productivity, Caliper can help you and your business. Caliper offers in-depth assessments for potential hires and current employees. Their deep knowledge and personality insights uncover key traits and behaviors, plus what motivates employees to succeed. Caliper's unique approach works with every size company and industry, from startups to the Fortune 500. In fact, their science and expertise have helped over 30,000 businesses hire, retain, and develop top talent. Caliper has an incredible offer for Hack the Entrepreneur listeners. You can assess your team for free. You'll discover what makes each person tick and improve the performance of your team. They'll also give you an hour of free consulting. To take them up on this offer right now and to find out more, visit calipercorp.com/hack. That's calipercorp.com/hack. And we are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today, I would like to welcome James to the show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
My absolute pleasure, James. Let's jump straight into it, shall we?
Sure.
James, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Well, I've been self-employed for 4 years now, so it's been different things at different times. But the last 2 years, I can tell you for certain that the thing that has made the biggest difference has been writing an article every Monday and Thursday. My business is largely based around building an email list. So driving traffic and having content on the website is central to that. And for a long time, I only wrote whenever I felt motivated or inspired. And this was with different websites and other things I had started. I was talking to a friend of mine named Todd Henry, and I said, he's a published author. Todd's a much better writer than I am. I said, Todd, what do you think about this idea that I write whenever I feel motivated? Like, that's when I get my burst of inspiration or the creative muse hits me. And he was like, well, that makes sense. I only write when I feel motivated too. It just happens to be every day at 8 a.m. And that was when I realized, oh, that's the difference between professionals and amateurs, right? Like, amateurs do things when it's easy for them or when they feel motivated or when they feel inspired to do it. Professionals do things on a schedule. Now, the caveat to that is you have to pick a schedule that you can sustain. Like, I tried for a little while to write 5 days a week, and that was too much for me. I couldn't burn out after like a month. But Monday, Thursday, that's a pace that I can follow. And so November 12th, 2012 was the first day that I wrote on jamesclear.com, published that article on a Monday. And I've stuck to that Monday, Thursday schedule pretty much every day since, or every week since. And that has led to pretty much everything else has come from that. I mean, I've developed an expertise around habits and behavior change because I write about it twice a week and research a lot of it. I have, you know, built a website that at this point has over 100,000 email subscribers and gets almost 500,000 visitors a month. And that's just because the content's there. The only thing that changes, there are articles on there now that weren't there before. You know, speaking engagements and business opportunities and cool people that you get to meet. And I don't know, all that stuff comes from the fact that I have a process and I show up consistently.
Nice. I love it. So November 12th, 2012 was just over 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an email list of over 100,000 people and 500,000 page views a month?
Yeah, I think
it's amazing.
It's right now it's about 120,000 people on the list.
That's amazing.
Usually about 400,000 uniques a month the last 2 months. Page views are probably like 600,000. Yeah, so it's grown fast. As far as I know, not that it really matters, but I think it's the fastest growing single author blog. There are probably ones with multiple writers or multiple employees that have grown much faster. But yeah, it's been great. And I do want to say that I started that after having done some other businesses and websites for 2 years before that. So although I started the site from scratch and it's grown that quickly, it wasn't like my knowledge was zero, which is actually a pretty big, big shift, because like my first site that I started, which doesn't exist anymore, I built that from zero to about 20,000 email subscribers. And that took me like 2 years to get to that point. So, now I add 10, 12,000 a month. And so the difference there is mostly experience and knowledge. And like, I didn't know what I didn't know in the beginning and made a bunch of mistakes, but I had already sort of gone through that, I don't know what you want to call it, failure period, I guess. And so when I started this, when I started jamesclear.com, I knew what I was doing.
Nice. And has it always had such a very defined focus, jamesclear.com, or have you?
It's a good question, because one of the things I struggled with for a long time, I wanted to do this site years ago. And basically I was a big wimp and didn't start by writing about the stuff I really cared about, because I thought, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, and what if I fail on this and I really care about it, then that's going to stink. So I tried a bunch of business ideas that I sort of cared about and wanted to make work, because I needed to make money and learn how to be an entrepreneur and help people. But it wasn't the central thing I really cared about. So anyway, all that to say that I wrote in private for over a year before I published anything online. So I guess because I had all that content to sit on, I sort of knew what I wanted the direction of the site to be from the beginning, or I knew at least what interested me from the beginning, because I already had been writing for a year. Like, I didn't have to find my voice as much, which helped. But the site has become more targeted. I didn't know it was going to be like, there are some themes that have come up more now that I didn't really know in the beginning. Like, I didn't know it was going to be as much about habits as it is now. I also didn't know that I was going to have as strong of like a thread about creativity and contributing to the world rather than consuming. I didn't know that that was going to be a part of my work as much as it is now. So yeah, I guess I thought it was going to be a little more health and fitness related than it is. I mean, I still write about stuff. Like, I write about my squat routine and, fitness habits and things I learned from the gym and being an athlete and all that stuff. But yeah, so it's changed a little bit, but it did start relatively targeted.
Interesting. And so 2 years for this, a year of writing before, you started some other businesses. I think you've started 4 businesses up till this point in the 4 years, I guess, now?
Yeah, that's right. Probably, 4 businesses, maybe like 5 or 6 projects, if you want to call it that, like different, versions of things. But yeah, I mean, really, really, there were only 3 businesses that were ever profitable, one of which is no longer around and just sort of, fizzled away, I guess, because it was just marginally profitable. And then, now I have jamesclear.com and one other that's still running that I check in on every, week or so, but mostly the employees handle all that.
Nice. So there seems to be a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize the one of two things, that either they have a calling to make something bigger than themselves, or they simply, which seems to be the most of the case, is they simply can't work for somebody else. So 4 years ago, this happened to you. Can you tell me the story about how this happened?
Yeah, I mean, I am absolutely in the camp of, I felt like I needed to make something bigger than myself. I actually kind of thrive in structure and, structured environments and having a boss or manager or coach or whatever. I'm very comfortable there. So it definitely is not that I couldn't work for anybody else. In fact, a lot of the things that I would say most proud of doing happened in very structured environments where I was not at the center of the conversation. Like my college baseball team, for example. Now, I was captain of the team, but I wasn't the coach. I wasn't the guy running everything, but I was able to be a part of that squad and operate, my role within the context of the whole. And I really enjoyed that. And in many ways, I don't have any plans. I don't come from a military family or anything like that. But I think, you know, I could see myself doing well in the military because of that environment. Like I operate well in structured things like that. So that just gives you a little bit of insight into myself. But the reason that I started, and this comes back a little bit to the baseball story, I loved playing on that team so much. And I played baseball for 17 years, so I was on a lot of different teams. But I loved the final team that I was on so much, the team my senior year in college, because it was so clear what we were working toward. Everybody knew the direction we were going, the goal that we were working toward. We had a great season. I had a good season individually as well, and the team did very well. But it was also... it was bigger than any one person. You know, I mean, if I got hurt, the engine was going to keep going on. If someone else went down, the engine was going to keep going forward. It was so much more than just about you. And I loved that part of it. I mean, I don't know, I'm kind of getting goosebumps just thinking about it right now, about this idea of like sacrifice and dedicating yourself to a cause and giving yourself to something that's, you know, that's bigger than you. And so that is the reason why I got started with entrepreneurship. You know, I guess I was, in a lot of ways, I was lost in the 2 years after I got done playing. I was in grad school at the time, and then I launched my business immediately coming out of grad school. So I didn't have a real job, so to speak. But I was looking for that. You know, I hadn't had that feeling for 2 years, and I wanted to be a part of something where I felt like I was contributing, like I was part of a community, like I was building something that was important and useful and compelling for other people, that provided value to the people around me, whether that was my teammates in baseball or whether that's through my writing and work online to, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people now. And that's the thing that sparked it and got me going.
Nice. I like that. And I mean, that's something you can probably still, well, you have reach, you have a good reach now, but otherwise when it's just comes down to doing the work, like you're kind of alone, right? It's you. Like you have to.
Oh man. Yeah. Now we're going to get into my personal psychology and how I feel about this. It's so true. This is like I've debated this probably dozens of times in my own head, you know, like what you get out of work as a digital entrepreneur. And yeah, I do. I miss that a lot. You know, I miss the team aspect of it and not being surrounded by, you know, 10 or 20 other people who are going towards the same thing. Yeah, that's, you know, I think I'm getting to a point, I'm building toward a point where I can have both sides of the coin, I guess. But I figured in the beginning, it was more important to build a platform and a business that would allow me to have the opportunity to do a wide range of things. And that's what I'm focusing on now, than it was to, I don't know, to join a company or be, you know, get a regular job and be a part of a team right away. So that was something that I went for, or I guess one of the reasons why I went the way I did. But yeah, entrepreneurship as a solo founder can be a very lonely road at times. And that's why one of the best things I ever did early on, the first 3 months that I was in business, I sent hundreds of emails to people who were doing things that I wanted to do, or maybe like 2 or 3 years ahead of me, and just said, hey, here's the project that I'm working on. You know, this is what I'm doing. And I'd love to chat sometime if you want. I can remember sending those first emails and being like, what do I even say? Do people talk on Skype? Like how to, yeah. I didn't even know like how any of that worked. You know, just like one entrepreneur reach out to another and just be like, hey, let's chat on Skype for 20 minutes. Like, is that weird? I don't know. I had no idea. Well, now, you know, I know that, yeah, that's perfectly normal and people do it all the time. But yeah, I remember going through all that, and that a lot of those people never responded to the emails, but many of them did. And so by the time I was 6 months in, I had, say, 30 people that, you know, that I had talked to and had a relationship with now who were successful entrepreneurs. And so even though I didn't know where to go, I could at least bounce a question off of them or shoot somebody an email. And that helped a lot because, like I said, when you're feeling lonely and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, which nobody does in the beginning, that can be a really big thing to have.
Oftentimes, even not just the beginning, but the middle and closer to the end, we still don't know what we're doing. We like to pretend we do.
No, for sure. It's a good point. Having that support network around you is huge. But yeah, back to your initial question, that has been, I don't want to say it's been a struggle for me, but it's been something that I've thought about a lot. You know, how am I building a team around myself? When is that the next step? You know, what kind of community is this building towards so that you can really feel like you're something that's, you know, you're part of something that's bigger than just you.
Exactly. And I've recommended it before, and I will recommend it again, to totally email people, reach out to people in social media, that you think could maybe help you or answer some questions you have. It's like, I don't think you can do it on your own. And I think as we become more successful, the reason is because we do, we get surrounded by so many amazing people doing amazing things that like, I can just text people now that I couldn't even imagine 2 years ago, or email, or get them on Skype, like almost immediately to work me through something. And I couldn't do it myself. Like, I don't think any of us can. So.
Yeah, I agree. You can't. And honestly, you don't want to either. I mean, it's way more fun to have all these friends in the space, and it's just, it's way better that way. So
right.
The one thing I would say is it's so much easier to reach out to someone when you have your own project. You know, it maybe it's just a fledgling website that you started a week ago, but if you can email them and say, hey, here's what I'm working on. This is my thing. I'm, you know, working through this different idea, or I'm just getting started and would love to talk about how you did XYZ, whatever. It gives people context to apply the email to. It's like, oh, they're doing this, and that's why they're reaching out to me, because we're related in this way, rather than just being like, hey, I love your work. Do you want to chat sometime? So that's one thing that's helped me a lot.
Yeah, I agree. And if it's not related to them, then you shouldn't be emailing them. Like, it shouldn't be spammy. I'm not saying just like find anybody out there, right? Just
sure.
You should put the work in. It's even once they help you, there's still going to be a ton of work to do anything valuable. So if you're not willing to put in this little bit, then probably no point. But James, let's switch over to work. Because you like habits, you like to be super structured, and yet you are a solo digital entrepreneur at this point. So you woke up this morning and you had to set yourself up to be productive and to get all the things you needed to get done. Could you walk us through, say, the first 30 minutes of your day this morning from waking up to set yourself up for the day?
Sure. So first 30 minutes, usually the same. I'll wake up, take a shower, get dressed, and then I go straight to my computer and do the most important task of the day is usually how that works. Now on Mondays and Thursdays, that is typically writing. Other days it's going to be something strategic. So today it was like some strategy and web design work around this new like book recommendations tab that I'm working on, because I get a lot of readers who ask what kind of books I'm reading. So that's usually the way that the day starts out. But from a higher level, the important thing to remember, I think the thing that pretty much anyone can apply to their work tasks, are that there's a couple different things I use. The first is eliminate all distractions possible that prevent you from doing the most important thing first. And I've gone, maybe some would say, to an extreme on this. And what I mean is that, so I wake up and I know what the whatever the most important task is I'm going to be doing that day. I leave my phone in another room, so I don't get any text messages or calls. I don't check email typically until afternoon on most days. Now, that doesn't work for every job, but if it does work for you, I can tell you it's a huge boost, because you spend your morning working on your agenda rather than responding to everybody else's agenda. I don't eat usually until lunchtime. That's usually my first meal. So I practice intermittent fasting and have for 3 years now. I won't go into the science and the strategy of all that right now, because that's a whole nother topic. But basically, suffice it to say that I think that if you get the same amount of calories in a 24-hour period, your body will figure out what to do with it. I eat pretty much from like noon to say 8 or 9 p.m. rather than eating from like 7 a.m. to 8 or 9 p.m. So it's really not that different on the whole. Although I will say the main benefit that I think I get from intermittent fasting is not the nutritional stuff that you'll see people talk about occasionally, which I think is debatable how significant those benefits are. Mainly, it's I do it for simplicity and convenience. If you can get the same results by eating two meals a day rather than eating three meals, why would you not just eat two and make your life simpler? And that makes it easier for me to get into the work that's most important right away. And the second thing that I use, and which feeds into this strategy, is this idea of managing your energy rather than managing your time. Pretty much every productivity strategy talks about how to manage your time, how to maximize the amount of time that you can spend working or efficiently working on certain tasks. But allotting a certain amount of time for a task is useless if you don't have the energy to complete it. You know, if you give yourself an hour to work out, but you're too tired to work out, then it doesn't matter. If you give yourself 20 minutes to write an article, but you're not fresh and can't write a decent article, it doesn't matter. So what I started to realize is that my creative energy is highest in the morning, which matches up with a lot of habit formation and willpower research. And so because of that, I tend to do creative tasks and work on strategy and writing stuff in the morning. I stack behaviors that don't require a ton of creativity later in the day. So interviews, responding to emails, you know, just doing things that are basic processes for my business that I need to do well, but I don't need creative energy and creative thoughts for. And then I have often played with my weightlifting routine when I work out. So I've done early morning, I've done like mid-morning, like 10 or 11 p.m. or 10 or 11 a.m. And then I've also worked out in the evening. And what I found is I tend to get my best workouts in between 4 and 7 p.m. So that's the time when I go to the gym. And this basic idea of stacking behaviors and processes and events in times that work best for them, that has been a huge win for me, because it's way easier to do something if you're doing it at the right time when you have the right energy for it. And so that, I would say, is probably something that most people can apply to their life, regardless of what tasks you're working on. And if you're trying to figure out what your energy is best for, you can do a simple little, you know, just set an alarm on your phone every hour for the day for like a week. And then when each hour comes, either jot down a little note of, you know, how your energy feels at 2 p.m., at 3 p.m., at 4 p.m., whatever. You know, lethargic, creative, energized, you know, whatever it happens to be. Look back on that week and then you're like, oh, I see, you know, some certain patterns here about how I feel at different times. And that should help you figure out, okay, what tasks is my energy best suited for at different times throughout the day?
Yeah, I guess it's self-awareness, right? Really focusing on yourself and when you do each thing that you want to do or task or job or workout. Figuring out, it's like, I don't have to work 9 till 5 anymore, right? I can work this task these times, and that's smart. It's a cool way to do it. And I think some people struggle still with that, especially when you lose your routines of you have to do this at this time, so therefore you have to go to the gym after work. So
yeah, it's all self-awareness, and some of it, it's self-awareness, but it's also self-awareness combined with scheduling and actually, you know, developing a process that fits that. And some of this is an advantage, you know, for me, because I get to set my schedule to the way that I do. You know, if you had a regular job, you wouldn't have that type of customization to be able to do that. But this is an opportunity that we have as entrepreneurs, so we might as well take advantage of it.
Exactly. So I saw a quote on your site, and it was, if you can master your habits, you can master your life. So James, is there one habit you're trying to master and you've been struggling with it?
Well, there's many that I've struggled to build and master. The one that I'm working on right now that just came to mind when you asked that question is reading for 1 hour every night. And the reason that I'm doing that is that I want to read more books. But two, I think it's going to have this positive impact on my sleep habits. And that's the one that I've really struggled with. You know, I enjoy the work that I do. It's really easy for me to like get into it. And so I have this tendency to work later, and I don't stay up till, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning or anything, but it's easy for me to work midnight, sometimes even till like 1 a.m. And I don't want to do that. I operate better. I'm definitely a morning person. I'm not necessarily an early bird in that I wake up early every day, but I work best in the morning. And when I am awake, I'm awake. So I would love to get to this habit where, say, 9:30 or 10 o'clock rolls around every night. I read for an hour, go to bed at 11, wake up at 7, and just do that consistently. And the only thing preventing me from that are those days where I just stay up and work straight through till, you know, a later time. And so my thought is, if I can get in the habit of reading as prep for bed, then it'll be much easier for me to just go straight to sleep.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to finish off, James, with success and the future. We're sitting here a year from now. It's a brand new year now, so we have a full year to think about it. What is a big goal or something that you want to achieve or accomplish this year, either personally or within your business?
Yeah, done. Easy. Write my first book.
Nice.
I already have 40 or 50,000 words down, so that's long enough to be a book, but it really needs to be edited and worked on, and that's the project for the year. So get that out and ship it and get it done.
Yes, I love it. James, thank you so much for taking the time. We've talked about you and your business in passing. Can you just specifically tell listeners where they can go find out about you?
Sure. So I write every Monday and Thursday about how to build habits that stick at jamesclear.com. You're welcome to bounce over to the site and check that out. If you want more specifically on productivity and habits and efficiency strategies, just really how to build habits that lead to successful entrepreneurial careers, or the things that I've learned as I've gone through this, I certainly don't know it all. I put together a free guide. It's called Transform Your Habits. It's about 45 pages, goes through the science of habit formation, also some, you know, simple exercises to implement to build better habits. And you can download that for free. That's at jamesclear.com/habits.
Excellent. jamesclear.com/habits. I will link to that in the show notes for everyone, and go grab your copy of Transform Your Habits. So James, thank you so much. I truly appreciate you stopping by.
You bet. Thanks so much, John.
Have you ever hired a promising applicant only to find out their best performance was during the job interview? Whether screening candidates for an important position or looking for ways to improve productivity, Caliper can help. To find out more, visit calipercorp.com/hack. That's CalipercorP, calipercorp.com/hack. Wow, James, thank you. That was a lot of fun. Make sure to check out James at his website, jamesclear.com, and pick up that book, Transform Your Habits. It's a free book you can get, and it's good. We all have habits, whether we want them or not, whether they're good or bad, we have them. We're just habitual creatures. That's what we are. So pick that up and see if it can help you in your business. James, you said a lot of smart things, but he said one thing. He said one thing, didn't he? Did you hear it? Did you get it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I figured in the beginning it was more important to build a platform and a business that would allow me to have the opportunity to do a wide range of things. And that's what I'm focusing on now.
And that's the hack. Yes, James, absolutely. Absolutely. Build the platform. Build your audience. You can build a business around that. It's you don't want to build a product. You don't want to build services and then try and find an audience. Build your platform. Start blogging. Start podcasting. Do whatever it is. Wherever your audience is, define them, find them, and go there and just create that platform. Without that platform, you do not have a business. And as James says, you can take that and go to other things. This is what Hack the Entrepreneur is. It is a platform to build an audience, which I'm doing in a really amazing way. And it's really, really like amazing to me that so many people are out there listening. So many people go to the website now because of the platform that I'm building. And I don't have products for sale maybe at this point, but at some point, at any point, I can. Or somebody might approach me with, actually people do, they approach me to sponsor the show because I have a platform. People now want to pay me to talk about their products on my show because I have a platform. James, absolutely. It was just over 2 years ago now, or is it just over 2 years ago, you started jamesclear.com. You published twice a week and you haven't missed. And look at what you've done. It's amazing. It doesn't take forever. That takes a long time. Sure, that's a lot of work, but his life has changed. It's there because he focused on building the platform and building the audience. I couldn't have said it better myself, James, and I thank you for it. Hacktheentrepreneur.com. If you haven't gone, you should. Seriously, it's great. It's a good site. I like it. Get on the list. You're going to see me standing there. It's a picture my daughter took of me standing in the Tokyo subway. Get on the email list. I'm sending out an email every Sunday afternoon. Kind of what I'm going through, the sort of something sort of inspiring for the week to kind of kick my own ass to maybe get to work like I have to, and maybe it'll help you too. It seems to be. I get a lot of responses and I'm loving it. So please get on that email list. It would be great fun for both of us. This has been a lot of fun. James is great. We have a lot more amazing guests coming up. So please enjoy yourself today, and until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.